Testament to the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter and verse 28, and we'll be considering those verses in just a few minutes. And for those who are our guests, again, we want you to know that we're very honored to have you today. We appreciate your presence, and especially that you have come because of your interest in the God that we have come to honor and worship. We appreciate you being with us today. Sometimes I think we have difficulty in understanding the concept that as Christians we belong to someone else, that we are property of another. In the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, when the scribe came to Jesus and he wanted to know which was the greatest of commandments, the first and foremost commandment, without hesitation, Jesus answered, saying in verse 29, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." That when Jesus gave that commandment, the essence of loving God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength is this, that we are to sell out to God. That we give Him everything. That we belong to Him. And coupled with that commandment is that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Oftentimes I think we want to separate those two, but the reality is that they cannot be separated. We want to say, well, we can serve God, but we don't have to serve the brethren. We don't have to mess with them. But the reality is that these two commandments go hand in hand, serving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and giving ourselves to our neighbor and serving them and loving them. True disciples of Christ understand those two concepts. You see, the premise of being a Christian is the premise of servanthood. We are property of someone else. We belong to God. In fact, Paul states that in the book of Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 verse 1 he says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God." Paul begins his epistle with the word bondservant. The Greek word is doulos. The implication is a slave. Paul says, "I am a slave of Christ." And we feel uncomfortable with that idea. And there's a couple of reasons why. We may feel uncomfortable with that idea because, unfortunately, the unfortunate history of our nation, the painful experience that we went through in the early history of our nation, the reality is that human bondage is despicable. And it is not something that we can be proud of as a nation, looking back in some of the things that took place in the history of our nation. And we paid a great price for that. But there is another reason why we feel uncomfortable with this concept. And that is because we live in a culture in which no one really wants to be submissive to anyone else. We want to be the captain of our destiny. We want to make our own decisions. But the reality is that the New Testament tells us that we are the property of a graceful and loving and benevolent Father. We may want to be self-centered. We want to fulfill our life. But the reality is that in this very self-centered culture, we are living most unfulfilled lives. And the real joy that we can have is learning the concept of selling out to God and understanding that we really belong to Him. The very word Christian suggests that idea. Christian suggests one who belongs to Christ. We belong to Him. The Apostle Paul spoke about this very plainly in the book of 1 Corinthians. In the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which belong to God." Another New Testament writer, Peter, And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed or ransomed with corruptible things like gold or silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have come together today for the purpose of honoring that one who made that supreme sacrifice. We have been redeemed and purchased with the blood of Jesus. You see, as God's people, we belong to God. We belong to Him, number one, because He is our Creator. The human race belongs to Him because He is the potter and we're the clay. We belong to Him because He is our very Maker. And therefore, we are obligated to glorify Him and to be thankful to Him. But as Christians, He is also our Redeemer. The concept of being born again is the idea of being born into the image of God, being born into the image of Christ. The goal of the Christian is to become Godlike and to become Christlike. We are to serve God. Why? We have been born again for that very reason. We have been born again that we might honor Him and glorify Him. And I think sometime we have lost sight of that. I want you to look with me in the book of Malachi. Very last book of the Old Testament. Third chapter of Malachi. Here we find that Israel had been through 70 years of captivity. And they had been allowed to return after 70 years. And forever they were purged from idolatry, purged from serving idols. But that did not dismiss them from spiritual problems. And in the third chapter of Malachi, notice what is stated in the 13th verse. He says, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept this ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts?" Why do we need to serve God? Isn't that the common idea of our time? It is vain to serve God. What's in it for me? If God has something in it for me, then sure, I'm ready to serve Him. But it is vain and empty. This suggests, I think, even the modern mindset, God owes me something. And if He doesn't give it, then I'm not going to serve Him. Well, let me tell you something. God has already given everything. He gave His Son. And we owe Him our life. Yes, we belong to God because He's our Redeemer. We belong to God because He is a graceful provider. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, there was a statement made by Jesus that is so encouraging. We sing a song after the words. I wonder if we really understand the full implication. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, in the 7th verse, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good to those who ask Him?" God has abundantly blessed us with spiritual and physical blessings. He has promised to bless His children. He has promised to bless us if we are faithful. But oftentimes we get on the entitlement program and we say, "You know, I don't owe you anything and you owe me everything." To the contrary. But God has indeed promised to bless us richly. But we look for what's in it for me. rather than understanding that God has created us and we are born again, we have been saved to serve, to be His servants, to give to Him. We're not the Creator, He is. We don't order Him around. He is the one who gives the commandments, and rightly so, because He is our Maker and because He has abundantly blessed us. Look in the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5 and the 14th verse. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Did you get that? If we ask according to His will, the essence is that God says, I want you to trust me. You know, sometimes I wonder why God doesn't answer the prayer the way I want it. But what I realize is that's probably a good thing. Why doesn't God answer me according to my opinion and operate in the realm of my opinion? That's probably a good thing. But God is willing to abundantly bless according to His will. So when do you turn to God? Just in a time of emergency? I want to give you a challenge. Tomorrow morning, when you begin the day with prayer, I assume you do, I want you to say a prayer that has no request, only thanks. That's tough. I've tried that discipline. You know, it's real easy to begin with, Hallowed be thy name, and then I begin with all the petitions. I'm not saying God doesn't want to hear those petitions. I understand that. But sometimes what we need to do is to start counting the blessings, to realize what a graceful and wonderful provider He is. That this ought to motivate me to have a greater desire to serve Him, to be His servant, and to understand that we belong to Him. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to Him. God made us for a reason. He made us and created us physically and spiritually for one reason: to glorify Him, to honor Him, and to serve Him. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. In Luke chapter 17, first of all, actually a verse or two before what I have on the chart. In verse 3, Jesus had made this statement. He says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. The response of the disciples in verse 5 was, Lord, increase our faith. You mean to tell me that I'm going to have to forgive this person seven times a day? The implication is complete, full. However many times it takes, increase our faith. We need greater faith. But what's really interesting is how Jesus answers that request. In verse 6, He says, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Increase our faith. Jesus didn't say, well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to read your Bible more. Now, I'm not saying that wouldn't be helpful. Jesus isn't saying, you know what we really need to do is have a Bible study here. That probably would be helpful. Or you need to go to church more. Jesus said, what you need to do is you need to serve me. You need to serve. And understand the context here. You see, God made us to serve. Jesus is saying that the equivalent of great faith is servanthood. Understanding and having the heart of a servant. That's what he is saying here. That we don't serve to be recognized, but we simply serve because that is the right thing to do. Here are 3 points. Perhaps make a sermon all by itself. 10-minute talk maybe. From Luke 17. First of all, number one, Jesus says, in the context, we must know our place as servants. We must understand our position. We need to learn to be comfortable with that. We understand our purpose. Look in the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, a minute. And look in Romans chapter 7. And notice what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7 and along about verse 4. He says, therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. For what reason? So that we can be saved and redeemed? Yeah, that's involved. So that you can bear fruit to God. That's what he says. And furthermore, in the 6th verse, he says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should do what? So that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We need to understand our position. That we have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus for a reason. We have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus so that we can serve and honor and glorify Him. We need to see that. We need to be comfortable with that. The second lesson that we learn is that we must serve without expecting anything in return. I remember a sister, first local work, always opening her home, always had something prepared when you came to her home. But bless her heart, she always expected something in return. She couldn't get past that. She couldn't understand why folks didn't pay attention to her. Why they didn't sit on the pew with her in the service. Why they weren't her friend. You see, oftentimes we are challenged because we want to serve as long as we're in the limelight. No. Discipleship is about serving and expecting nothing in return. Simply that we are unprofitable servants. We have done what it was or what was our duty to do. We have done what God commanded us. We see a need, we take care of it. We see something that needs to be done, I'm going to do it. And finally, we must serve because it is right. That's what God wants. I think sometimes as moms and dads, we do our kids a disservice. When we talk about our little princess or our little prince, and we just shower all kinds of praises and accolades on them because he cut the grass, because she did the dishes. No, that's what they're expected to do. That's the way it is. We're a family. And you're a part of this family. And this is simply what you are expected to do. Isn't that the essence of what Jesus said? So likewise, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we're unprofitable servants. We still owe you more. We haven't done enough. And we have done what was our duty to do. We do it because it's right. Because that's what God wants. You see, great faith is found in the heart of those who have learned to serve. Not demanding of God. Not on the entitlement program. Not the what is it for me, what's in it for me syndrome. But simply, God, I love you. And I want to serve. I want to glorify you and honor you. Free to do that. To glorify and honor Him. Or as the song suggests, others. Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I might live like Thee. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. And now we owe our life to Him. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't know Him as Savior. If today we can help you and assist you in any way to make sure that your life is right with Him, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come. Would you come as we stand and sing the song's electric?